Today's program has been brought to you by Heritage Foods USA, the nation's largest distributor of heritage breed pigs and turkeys. For more information, visit heritagefoodsusa.com.
I'm Dave Arnold, host of Cooking Issues. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Welcome to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer. We're coming to you live from Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick, Brooklyn. It is a hot Wednesday, July 2nd here in New York City. And this is the 26th episode of the series, which is dedicated to behind-the-scenes talents in the hospitality industry. Today, we will be talking with two top hospitality professionals about restaurant technology and a brand new platform called Set for Service. But first, I will start with my PR tip. And then later, we will have my speed round questions, industry news discussion, solo dining experience, and the final question. Now, before I tip off the show, I want to remind everyone that it is our summer membership drive at Heritage Radio Network. We are a nonprofit, and we could use your support. So, if you like what you hear here and on all of our amazing programs, I hope you'll become a member. Visit our website, heritageradionetwork.org, and click on the donate button at the top of the page. We thank you in advance. Now, as the founder of Bayer Public Relations, I'm going to tip off the show with my PR tip of the week. Today's tip is to practice common courtesy. Yes, this is not brain surgery, but I think we all need to be reminded that politeness and respect are really important. And in restaurant speak, it's basic customer service or hospitality. Examples of good etiquette are to reply to emails, return phone calls, and always say thank you. These are simple things that are easy to do and will be very appreciated. Treat others how you want to be treated. That's my tip today. Now, I have two outstanding hospitality professionals in the studio. The first is Gracie Ann Jordan. She is the Director of Operations at Crafted Hospitality, which she joined in 2010, and it reunited her with chef and owner Tom Colicchio, who she previously worked with at Gramercy Tavern. Gracie Ann has also led the management team at John George and Danny Meyer's The Modern at the MoMA. My second guest is Peter Esmond. He's the founder of Set for Service, an open platform customer relationship management and guest management solution for restaurants and hospitality. Peter is a veteran of the hospitality industry whose experience includes Thomas Keller's The French Laundry and Per Se, and also John George. Peter most recently served as director of operations at Rouge Tomat in New York City. So welcome.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you both out here. Now, I gave very brief bios for both of you, and all these restaurants are extremely prestigious, award-winning restaurants. They're amazing. Tell me a little more about your background and how you got into hospitality, and I'm assuming you met at John George, or did you meet before that?
We actually met after.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we missed each other by just a few months.
I was wondering if that's where you met, but I guess not.
No, small world.
Small community.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
Yeah. So I told Peter that this is such a hard question to answer because there's so many romantic stories out there of how people get into industry, and mine is not that, you know, my mother was cooking in the kitchen and I fell in love with food or anything like that. It was more about the community of people. Being from a smaller town and coming to a big city, realizing that this could actually be a career. When you are surrounded by, you know, people like Tom Colicchio and Paul Greco was the wine guy at Gramercy when I landed there. And
right.
So many other amazing hospitalitarians and chefs that have gone on to do their own thing. It was just a breeding ground for me to learn in, but also lifelong friends. In fact, Gramercy Tavern is having their 20th year anniversary in a couple weekends, and I'm super excited to see everybody.
Yeah, I'm a little jealous I didn't get to work there. I mean, maybe I could go back, but it seems like a type of place where it developed a community and great people who are also extremely talented.
Absolutely.
So what about you, Peter?
I guess, let's see. I got into hospitality probably the same as most people, is that I just needed a job. And that's what I knew how to do. My parents owned a bed and breakfast in Colorado, where I grew up, so I was living in it and working in it all through high school, so waking up in the morning and greeting people and answering the phone with, like, Little Mountain Lodge was just part of my routine. And then when I came to New York to finish school, a friend of mine worked at Jean Georges at the time and was like, great, my brother was going to the CIA at the time, and I said, what is this place? He said, yeah, it's great, go work there. All right, great, I'll go work there. Well, it wasn't that easy. I had to interview and do all the other stuff of doing it, and I was thrown into it as a front waiter and just completely got addicted and loved it and loved the environment, loved the people, loved the atmosphere, loved the life. And you know, since then, I've just couldn't give it up.
Right. So that's what you love about hospitality. What would you say are some of the challenges of working in hospitality?
The lifestyle.
You're working when everyone's playing.
Yeah. Exactly.
I always found that because I used to work in restaurants. Yeah. Yeah. People don't realize.
When everybody else is off, you're the busiest, for sure.
I think for me, it was, you don't realize it, but you're with everyone else and they're celebrating birthdays and anniversaries and you're helping them. Mm-hmm. And you're real, you know, after some years go by, you kind of realize, oh my goodness, I just missed all that in my own family. And it's actually advice that I give to a lot of you know, managers starting in our company is don't miss those, you know, first birthdays and your parents' 25th year anniversary. And those cannot be repeated. You know, and try to, you know, make sure that you savor those moments, and you can work hard all you want when you're here. But to make sure that you don't miss those. But that was the hardest part for me. And I would get caught up in the moment. I wasn't realizing that I was missing those things, but then, you know, just wanting the drive of wanting to be really successful in the business that you're in or the restaurant that you're in. And it's such a team spirit where all the team players have to be there for it to be a success, and not wanting to let the team down by, you know, going away that weekend for something and wanting to be there. You know, if you're in the review process or you're a new restaurant or there's something new that you're trying, really not wanting to miss out on that either.
Yeah, I get that. I have that. Not wanting to miss thing too. Yeah. I remember, even back at school, I remember not wanting to miss school because I thought I'd miss what was going on.
Right. You missed the party.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I just remember thinking that. Mm-hmm. So what at Crafted Hospitality is the official name of the craft brand. So why don't you, there's a lot of restaurants under your umbrella, and as director of operations, what is your role in day-to-day with hospitality?
It's a supportive role, mm-hmm. but also to make sure that the business is running smoothly. And the great thing about working in the company is Tom has developed a lot of great culinary talent. You know, and there's also a director of culinary that's supporting that side of the business. But I'm more of supporting the general managers and the people that are leading in each business. And we're very entrepreneurial, and we want those leaders that are the general managers and the chef de cuisines to treat the business like their own and be able to feel like they can make decisions. So I'm not fluff, so to speak, but the doors open and close without me. And I'm there for more overarching support where mm-hmm. We might want to make a change to the business or a special project or something to, you know, we talk a lot about in our company about good restaurant versus great restaurant. And my job is really to keep pushing them to make them and keep them great restaurants. So I think without that kind of resources, they're going to be able to do the good restaurant stuff. And, you know, the food comes on time and it's hot if it's supposed to be hot and cold if it's supposed to be cold. And, you know, the check comes and the check's correct and everybody is thanked on the way out. But we're trying to do great restaurant things. So my support is more kind of trying to constantly push for that level.
Right. Well, that's the hospitality. That's why you're the director of operations of it all, I would say, is the title. Now, Peter, mm-hmm. Your last job, you're at Richemont.
Yeah.
And now you've launched a company.
Yes.
Called Set for Service.
Yes.
So what is that?
So that is a Set for Service is, like you said, an open platform CRM for the hospitality business. So much of the time I found on the floor that, you know, you try to build an amazing relationship with the people who come to your restaurant, and you're given, depending on the type of restaurant you have, you've given a window of opportunity to do that. You're either quick service or, you know, Roberta's, maybe you've got an hour, you know, per se, you've got 3.5 to 4. So service can take on a different level because you've got more time to build this relationship. And at the end of the day, there's tools that are available to everybody else in the marketplace in order to create that relationship, whether it's Google or LinkedIn or anything else. You know, in our industry, it's always been Open Table. That's the sort of your reservations platform where the transaction takes place. And, you know, for so long, we were just working on so much in the office between taking notes and, you know, building up Excel sheets and doing all this other stuff in order to know more about our guests, not to pry into their private lives, but just to say, hey, when you come in, there's this familiarity, there's a comfort level where, you know, no matter who's taking care of you, they know, you feel like you're at home, you feel trust, you feel that relationship starting to be created. And so we wanted to build a platform to sort of help facilitate that relationship, where information can be easily shared and collected and used and, you know, put into a manager's hands so that when they do see a guest, they can immediately identify with them and reference notes or past history or, you know, what their favorite thing is or what they're allergic to or when the wife's birthday is or all that stuff. So it's not having to run back to the front desk or having to Google something. It's just like, oh, it's just right here. I can check it out.
Yeah, I think I just read something about how Grant Achatz or their team, they Google everyone
who
comes to the restaurant.
Most of them do. I don't know. I mean, Will and 11 Madison Park tend to be the most open about it. But everybody does it.
I don't know. You know, it's nice sometimes when I've gone to a restaurant and let's say I know the chef or owner, but I don't know them that well. Mm-hmm. And they just see my name on Open Table and they've either come by or they've sent something out. I've always been floored. I remember once I was with my parents and they couldn't believe, like, what just happened. Because that, you know, doing your research and seeing, looking at who's coming into the restaurant. So, Grace Ann, you've started to use Set for Service at your restaurants because it's in beta?
We're using it in beta at Topping Rosas, which is a restaurant and a hotel out in Bridgehampton. And, you know, I was very thankful to Peter because he and I would have conversations and, you know, he'd ask me, what do you want to see? What are you missing that you're not getting right now to take care of the guests that come into your restaurants? And, you know, we're trying to make memories. You know, it's not, you know, we talk again about good restaurant, great restaurant. It's not just about all those things going well, but you want those people to leave feeling like, I have to come back here. I have no choice. That was an amazing experience. And, you know, having a CRM, as the techies call it and Peter calls it, like Set for Service, it enables you to be able to have an image of the guest. So they walk in and a maitre d' that maybe has only been with us for a couple months, but it's a regular that's been with us for years and years, will be able to recognize and identify that person right away and anticipate, you know, maybe there's a line of people waiting to come in and anticipate and pull that person out of the crowd and whisper to the host and say, you know, there's Mr. Brown, take him to table 62 and take him out of that line. Those extra kind of nuances, that's how the technology in this way works. And, you know, Peter, you know, mentioned allergies. Our guests, if somebody comes to our New York restaurant and we know in New York that they have an allergy and they go to our restaurant in Los Angeles, it's, oh, they know that I can't have, you know, pine nuts or something. So they don't think to mention it to the captain because, you know, Tom knows, everybody knows that I can't have pine nuts. And that's something that I really like about Set for Service is that the sharing of information amongst your businesses instead of just, you know, when you run a company like I do where we have so many locations, to be able to share that information is crucial. So it's scary if, you know, they really do, you build trust with your regulars and your guests and after they say something 5 times to remind us, they're going to stop reminding us. And that's where this really comes in.
Yeah. And for the longest time, it's always, that information is typically stuck in the minds of your employees, mm-hmm. which is great. You know, it's always been the power of a great maitre d'. So when that guy's at the door and the guest walks in, it's, oh, you know, it's the familiarity because he's there. That maitre d' leaves or moves on to somewhere else. That asset, that knowledge, that whole relationship kind of goes with him, and the restaurant suffers mm-hmm. because of that. And this is trying to make it a little bit more cohesive and collective between the entire group. So I kind of, you know, sometimes jokingly say it's like the maitre d's little black book is now an iPhone, you know, and it's a restaurant mm-hmm. that can own that, and all the managers have access to it, and they can all reference it and add to it or do what they need to do as they go along. So it's right. a shared knowledge now, and this guest is everybody's best friend, not just the maitre d's.
Yeah, no, it sounds awesome. It makes mm-hmm. sense. And with technology today, it mm-hmm. just seems that's the yeah. direction it had to go.
Have you ever gone somewhere where they know you and you sit down and your drink's right there? You know, I have a place that I go yeah. that, you know, gin and tonic, Hendrix and tonic to be specific, is down there. And it's like, maybe that day I really don't feel like a gin and tonic, but I'm not going to tell him, mm-hmm. no, I drink the gin and tonic every time, even though maybe I feel like a beer because it's 90 degrees like today or, you know, and it's just that, those kind of touches of hospitality, mm-hmm. they're for that bartender, there isn't, he just remembers, you know, what I like. And as Peter said, you know, same thing as the maitre d', that bartender leaves and that information does not get passed on.
Right. No, it's makes a lot of sense. And with the allergies too, with a restaurant group, I totally think that's amazing that the information will get shared among mm-hmm. your restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you can't do it cool. once.
All right. Great. We're going to take a little break here. We're going to come back. So stay with us. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Colicchio, the host of the Business of the Business here on the Heritage Radio Network. And this summer, we are turning five. The Heritage Radio Network is 5 years old. Since our launch in 2009, we've continued to bring you food and culture content like nobody else in this business. And we need, and when I say need, I mean need, your help. HeritageRadioNetwork.org is a passionate, grassroots, action-oriented nonprofit organization. And that means we depend upon the support of listeners like you to keep us alive. If you love what you hear on this radio station, the Heritage Radio Network, please visit our website and become a member today. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your support. You got to be economically sustainable. Help us out. Thanks. Bye.
Since 2001, Heritage Foods USA has sold pasture-raised, antibiotic-free heritage meats to restaurants and homes around the country. Our farmers raise their animals with care using traditional methods guaranteed to produce the very best-tasting meat. Our pork breeds include Berkshire, Red Wattle, Duroc, Gloucester Old Spot, Large Black, and Tamworth, and our beef comes from Piedmontese, Angus Akiyushi, Belgian Blue, Highland, Simmental, and Belted Galloway cattle. We also carry a rotation of 24 rare breeds of heritage chicken, seasonal specialties like lamb, goat, geese, and of course, heritage turkeys. Visit us online at www.heritagefoodsusa.com or give us a call at 718-389-0985 to place your order today.
Hello, this is Mark Ladner from Del Posto, and you're listening to Heritage Radio Network.
Hi, welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm Sherry Bayer. My guests today are Gracie Ann Jordan and Peter Esmond. We're talking about hospitality and technology. So, Peter, I wanted to see if you could tell us more about Set for Service and its uniqueness, because it sounds to me like there's nothing like this out there.
Right.
So...
It's funny because I mean, there's so many things out there. Like, I mean, Salesforce is a CRM. That's a huge company that's all based on, you know, CRM. And, you know, we kind of...
CRM. I'm going to get my terms down.
Right. It's uh-huh. customer relationship management. Very technical. But, you know, whenever you get a sales call from somebody, they're all referencing a database somewhere with more information about you and what they can use to sort of, you know, to build that rapport. And restaurants have always, what's beautiful about restaurants is that's always a human connection. And will always be. And I hope that it always will be. Even as reservations go online and food ordering goes online and whatever else, all of your other stuff, like your transactional things with a restaurant begin become digital, at the end of the day, the beauty of a restaurant is you are with and around people, and you know servers will always somehow have to be involved, even if you order from a tablet. And we want to support that process. We want to support that relationship. We're not trying to sort of take it away. And so what we're trying to do is create something that doesn't stand alone, but really integrates well with the rest of the tools you already use, like OpenTables. So we actually integrate with OpenTables. So your notes and things that you're putting into your phone will actually get pushed into your OpenTable platform at the front desk, you know, and so that way your hosts and your reservations in your normal operating system are sort of now influenced to a better degree. We're hoping to create more partnerships. We're talking to a lot of great companies around the space, like Avero and other point of sales companies and some of the newer companies that are sort of bouncing around, in order to continue to collect those things and help, provide more information to help create a better relationship. So I think it's pretty unique. But it's not really unique in the sense that it's something that everybody's been doing for a long time. It's just now put into a digital realm.
Right. Well, that ties into my question a bit that from last week, so I'll ask it now. I had on Lior Lev Sercars. He's from La Boite. He's the spice guy. And he wanted to know, since reservations and interactions have moved online, what are the pros and cons, and what would you change in to make reservation system easier? So what are the pros and cons?
I could talk about that for a while. So great, Sandra.
I don't know. We have a few minutes, but go for it.
from an operator point of view, having a reservation system online is great because it's a wider audience, and it's a quicker sell for a guest, a diner. What we are unable to do is make that human connection. So if you were to sit in our offices today, you would hear one of our guest relations folks on the phone saying, is there anything special for this dinner? Is there anything that we can do to make it memorable? And they will say, oh, it's my birthday on Friday. And literally the response is so genuine of, oh, it's your birthday. Like, happy birthday. It's so genuine. And that just doesn't come through on the online, platform. And I think we try to recover that on the confirmation. So we require for now that our confirmation happens person to person. And then you can't confirm with us online, because we want to be able to let you know, where you're dining. We're doing a special menu, or it's a price fix, or we want to make sure that the expectation that you have of the experience you're going to have is accurate, and that we can give you any kind of information, to make it easier for you and to be able to make that special. But it's tough, the online, because you're really losing a little bit of that human connection.
Right. I think people, even like myself, I like the convenience. And it's interesting you said that, because it would be hard for me to believe that all restaurants, that's the reason why they're asking you to call back. But it's now, it would be lovely if that is. But most of the time I make a reservation on OpenTable, I get the call, please call us back. And I'm always, to confirm. But I just thought that was to confirm. I didn't know there was another reason.
There typically is. And I think, we could have a whole nother show about table scalpers, people that sell our tables.
Yeah, I was wondering what your take on was on all of that.
But we, so to really make sure that the reservation is legitimate, because there are people out there now that are selling our reservations. And, you can go on any of these websites, and I won't tell you the names because then, I'll be advertising for them. But they're selling an 8 o'clock table for four people at one of our businesses. And if they don't sell that table, they will either no show or cancel at the last minute. And that means that table goes empty. So it's really wanting to connect with the guests, but also we have to protect their inventory in some way, and we feel a little like less control. And I think that's one of the reasons why I like Set for Service also, is you feel a little bit more control in that inventory, and it's more of a partnership where, you know, Set for Service is working for the businesses and the restaurants are their customer, where sometimes, you know, it's the other way where the diner is the customer. That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah,
I mean, it's like a lot of the technology nowadays that it's being sold into restaurants is a consumer-facing product, of which it's, I'm going to get you access to Kraft, or I'm going to get you access to Brooklyn Fair, or wherever else. I'm going to get this into you. And then it's about convincing restaurants of the value of this proposition, where it's, if you have to try to convince a restaurant of what the value is, then there's too many other things going on in their day for them to really consider why this is important. You know, they understand that 8 o'clock Saturday nights are valuable. Everybody, you know, it's busy. So we really wanted to build a technology that's for restaurants, you know, that's really going to help their lives become easier. And then, you know, where the consumers come from or how that happens is sort of what the economy of restaurant technology will begin to figure out. To go back to your question, the technology of reservations, you know, at the end of the day, is a transactional experience. So I consider it just like swiping your credit card to pay for your bill. To literally put in two people at 7 p.m. at Kraft is just a transaction that you're facilitating, or any technology is facilitating, and the supply and demand model is what it is. There will always be some convenience factor for that, and there'll be some convenience factor for the diners, but then where, you know, what the benefit of the restaurants is, either marketing or filling tables, or, you know, more diners coming in their door potentially. But it's the opposite side of as convenient as it is to make the reservation, it's equally as convenient to cancel or no show for that reservation, because it seems very, you know, it's flippant. It's very, there's no commitment really to it. So there's got to be a balance somehow made between those two. But in that transaction where there's a little bit more security for both sides.
And I could add to that, that if you are in the restaurant and you're that great maitre d' that we've been talking about, there's no red light that goes on that says someone just canceled at 8 o'clock table online. It's open now. So there's no awareness that, oh, now I have a table open.
There should be.
Right. Peter's going to do that for us.
Okay.
I'm writing it down right now.
Well, yeah. I do know that cancellations and no-shows are people... There are people who make more than one reservation and cancel last minute, and it's just it's not good customer service on the end of the customer. I mean, it's just it's impolite, and it's hard. It's hard to manage it, I'm sure. And you're right, on open table you can, in certain restaurants, just cancel right ahead.
Sure.
That's it.
Yeah. It's as easy as making it. There's no
Oh, well, cool. So that's a feature you're going to have.
Whoa.
The red button. The red button that goes off now.
Right. I'll be on the roadmap.
Oh, cool. Now, when are you launching?
We're still in beta now. We're looking to launch end of July, so that through August we'll be going into a bunch of restaurants before the busy season of you know, fall and November and December, when everybody just puts their head down and just sort of gets through the holidays. So the next 3 months will be big.
And will this be available to any restaurant anywhere in the world? Are you starting in New York?
We're focusing on New York right now. I like a restaurant where I can kind of have a personal connection to the people that I'm working with. And especially as we're new, the feedback process is vitally important. So I really want to be able to work and engage and talk and see what's going on. I've talked to a couple people that are outside the city, and it's, while valuable, it's been difficult to sort of bridge the communication and see what the, you know, what the use case is and what's happening and all of those bits and pieces. So we're going to keep it local for now and then begin to branch out. But it's a cloud-based platform, so it eventually will be easily scalable into Chicago or San Francisco or New York or LA, et cetera, et cetera.
The big cities.
Yeah, the big metropolitan cities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Yeah. Well, I look forward to hearing more about it and its launch. And so your website's setforservice.com?
Yep.
Cool. All right. So we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back. We're going to do my speed round, and we'll talk some industry news.
Cool.
So
thanks.
Stay with us.
I'm talking to Hey, my name is Betsy Andrews, executive editor of Savera Magazine, and I am hanging out at the coolest, most delicious place in the world, heritageradionetwork.org.
Welcome back. I like that welcome back intro. Thank you, Betsy. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network, and I'm Sherry Bayer. My guests today are Grace Ann Jordan and Peter Esmond. It's now time for my speed round game. So what this is I'm going to name two things, such as chocolate or vanilla, and you just pick your preference. Okay?
Okay.
Got it.
Chocolate.
Cool. Chocolate. All right, so here we go. We could do ladies first.
Of course.
Unless you don't want to. Okay, eat in or eat out?
Eat out.
Eat out.
Wine, beer, or cocktail?
Wine.
Wine.
Don't copy me.
Tasting menu or a la carte?
A la carte.
Tasting menu.
There, he didn't.
I had to now.
Small plates or large plates?
Small plates.
Small plates.
Tipping or all-inclusive charge?
Tipping.
Tipping.
Communal table or chef's counter?
Chef's counter.
Communal table. No, chef's counter, for sure.
Where are we? What restaurant are we in?
Yeah.
I know. It might depend. It's a general. Reservations or walk-ins?
Reservations.
Reservations, sure.
How about restaurant week or no restaurant week?
No restaurant week.
That's easy.
No restaurant month.
It's actually restaurant weeks. Yeah. It is restaurant 4 month weeks now.
Call it restaurant month.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, if this wasn't a speed round game, I'd ask why, but we'll just move on. How about two more? Cheese plate or dessert?
Dessert.
I'm going to have to say dessert because all the pastry chefs would be upset with me. It's definitely dessert.
You could have both. Dessert. Cool. Manhattan or Brooklyn?
Brooklyn.
Oh, Manhattan. Sorry. I'm going to get
people
lynched.
People always
when I leave.
Feel bad. But sorry. You're allowed to. Yeah.
They're throwing eggs at the window now.
Yeah,
great.
Seriously. Right.
No, that was
you
great.
You just lost all your listeners.
That was cool. I liked hearing your answers. Yeah, that was it.
Good
that
questions.
Was the game.
Yeah,
good
seriously.
Questions.
The
so
tipping one
you.
Was tough. That could be its own show.
Most my guests have gone with tipping. I think one did all inclusive. I don't even remember who, but yeah. That seems to be because it's not, I don't know, it varies.
Yeah.
Because most of these I'm asking everyone. Some of them are more for you.
Right.
Like restaurant mm-hmm. week. But it's interesting to hear the answers.
Good questions.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Thanks. Okay, so let's talk some industry news. And actually, the two articles I have here were tech-related that came out recently. I thought they would be good for us to talk about. One of them was in the Wall Street Journal. It was how Oracle, which is the tech giant, how they agreed to buy Microsystems for $5.3 billion. And Micros is the point-of-sale system used in restaurants across the world, for anyone who doesn't know. So, any comments on that? Is that a big thing
I know
for
that,
you guys?
I believe Oracle actually made a bid for Micros years back that Micros said no to. It's interesting. There's been a few big plays, if you will, sort of as large companies coming into the smaller, you know,
OpenTable, Priceline,
mm-hmm. and then, TripAdvisor bought a reservation company called La Fourchette out of Europe, which is sort of the OpenTable of Europe. So there's these larger either consumer or data companies kind of getting involved in the industry. I'm not sure if anybody really knows where it's going to go. What is it? Is it just another product that they're going to have within it? Is it somehow going to get integrated into a larger Oracle, solution where all these neat, cool, new, modern things are going to get involved in that? Priceline and OpenTable, who knows where that's going to go? Mm-hmm. Is people going to be able to make a reservation like by bidding on it? Or is it just going to live as its own standalone sort of OpenTable product like Kayak under Priceline? It's still another product. So I think it's great. I think it's neat to see larger, more established companies looking at the industry and as an investment because it's at the end of the day, that's what it is for them. They're investing in an industry where they see a lot of potential and one that's been really closed off. I say that loosely, but really slowed to adapt to new technologies. Hopefully this will bring about some of that change that's been needed in a really positive way. Mm-hmm. My take on it.
Got it.
Absolutely. I agree with all of that. And I think that someone like Micros, who really has had a huge handle on POS systems for hospitality, and they also have Opera, which is the hotel side mm-hmm. of POS, and I think it's great for them. You know, I think this is going to give them more opportunities to have better customer service and hopefully some more bells and whistles that will allow us in the restaurants to, again, it's about having more tools in your toolbox to take care of the guests. And if we can, you know, not spend time doing something, you know, the long arithmetic, and there's a short math way of doing it, then, and it keeps us with our guests engaged, then bring it. You know, and if you walk into any restaurant in New York, you're probably going to see this gigantic, you know, micro screen and gigantic open table screen and these pieces of hardware that aren't sexy and take up a lot of space, especially in our New York smaller businesses. And I would love to see all those things kind of minimized. And, you know, like Peter is using tablets, which are much smaller and take up less space, but things that are cloud-based and any of this technology that's going to, again, allow for opportunities for better guest experience and creating memories, all for it.
Yeah. All sounds good it. To me.
Yeah.
Do you guys use Micros?
We do use Micros. Okay. Mm-hmm. Across the board.
Seems. Mm-hmm. And did yeah, most of the restaurants
yeah,
you work with?
Yeah, per se. Yeah, used another company first and then went into Micros and Rouge them out with Micros. And pretty much it's definitely been the dominant player in POS to restaurants and hotels mm-hmm. for a long time.
Right. So is Micros something that you're trying to integrate into Set for Service?
Well, with our potential partnership with Avero, okay. is a business intelligent tool that's been in the industry for 15 years.
Yeah,
and they've
heard
worked
of them.
With all of these and they've been great. And so we're hopefully gonna finalize something with them. They would allow for that sort of point of sales integration from our end. So as a CRM system, you would have both your reservation transactions from OpenTable as well as your sales transactions from your point of sale system.
So I would want to know that the last time that Sherry came into the restaurant, what wine did she drink? You know, what did she eat? I don't want to send you the same, you know, we're going to recognize you, and I don't want to send you the same thing that you had last time or right. I want you to experience something different. So those are all opportunities.
Yeah, and I think that that's lovely, but I think there's also a little bit of the, when I think this came up with Googling people, and just a little bit creepy in a sense when people know so much about you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, is that maybe the downside of doing your job so well?
It's funny because, you know, I agree with you. And, you know, as a father with two kids, like, I'm definitely aware of how much I put online because it's just, I don't want it all out there. There's a couple of things. I think younger generations are just used to their whole lives being online, so they'll probably sort of evolve a little bit. But from our perspective, it's already kind of known, you know? Mm-hmm. Somebody already knows that you like iced tea and you got it last time, or, you know, there's only a certain level or depth that's going to be going into it.
Right. Just,
it's engaged with whatever your experience is at that restaurant. So it's not going to be like what you had across the street or, you know, the fact that you were over there with some other, and then you came over to this restaurant 2 minutes later to have a meeting with another person. And, you know, it's not a full tracking. It's more just having a full holistic view of what your experiences are with this restaurant.
Yeah.
Both from, you know, a visitation or frequency side, so reservations, your spending side, and then also from a social media side, which is starting to be a big piece for reservation or restaurants because they don't have marketing dollars, so they just do social media, but there's a value to the engagement. And I'm not talking about digging into personal profiles, but when you tweet that you love something or you took a picture of a dish on Instagram and said, this is amazing, you know, how often does that get responded to? How often does a restaurant engage in that? And that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's valuable feedback for a restaurant, both good and bad.
Yeah, I think it's the information that you're giving is that we're keeping right. We want to keep in our memory, you know, and Tom tells this story all the time about the days of Gramercy Tavern and somebody he specifically wanted like a diet Snapple flavored iced tea or I can't remember exactly what the drink was, but, you know, the waiter told the guest no, that we don't have it. And he said, just go to the corner and get the guy the drink. You know, there's a whole, you know, cooler case at the corner store, bodega there. Just go and get it for him. And yeah, it's also about, like, being prepared. You know, we have a regular that drinks diet ginger ale, you know, and wants it in a can. And there's just, you know, that's not something that we're going to carry, but mm-hmm. It's like, okay, right. Got to get a six pack because she's coming in and this is what she likes and she wants a straw. And, you know, these are things that, so it's not like, hey, how are you, your two kids named Bobby and Susie? Mm-hmm. You know,
happy right. birthday last
yeah.
week.
Yeah, exactly. Like creepy, kind of. It's right. It has to do with food and beverage and preferences. And you know, if you came to the restaurant and you drank sparkling water, we're not even going to ask. We're just going to bring sparkling and remind you and say, you know, sparkling. We're not going to go through the whole water menu. You know, we're just going to yeah. bring what you've done the last 36 times you're in the restaurant.
No, that's awesome.
So hopefully it's considered comfort.
Yeah, no, it's customer service. Actually, a long time ago, I worked at Rock Bottom Brewery in Chicago, mm-hmm. and I remember they had, I think the term was called lanyap, which was, it meant that to go out of your way, to go the extra mile, mm-hmm. paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. But it was that type of thing. If someone wanted a Dr. Pepper, you go to the corner and you get it for them. And I think that was really the restaurant job that influenced me to get more into the culinary world. Mm-hmm. So I get it.
Creating those memories.
Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing. And technology can't replace that, but it can help
create them. Yeah.
Exactly.
Cool. Okay. So we're running out of time. So we're going to take a break and we're going to come back. I'll do my solo dining experience. This is All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network.
Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, and you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Welcome back to All in the Industry on Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Sherry Bayer, and it's time for my solo dining experience of the week. Okay, now as you may recall, a couple weeks ago I went to a new Basque Pinchos place called Donostia, which was on Avenue B, and I had a great experience. And there's another new place that just opened also in the East Village, called Huertas, which is Pinchos and Basque style, inspired by San Sebastian cuisine. And this is on First Avenue and between 6th and 7th. So I decided to check this place out. And I really liked it. I sat at the bar. It had a nice big bar. It had an open kitchen in the back. It was a bit rustic, but modern. And the staff was very friendly. And I found the menu easier to navigate than at Donostia. It's smaller, but they had chalkboard specials, such as they had cans, which is a big thing in Spain, and they also had past pinchos. So I wanted a can, because cans are fun. So I had sardines in a can, which was very good. And, it's soaked in this good olive oil, the sardines, and they give you garnishes and bread to make your own little tapas, I guess, or pinchos. So I had that. I also had octopus, because when do I not order octopus? And that was great.
I'm going to note that in your notes. Loves octopus.
Right. I'm putting it in right now. Actually.
Got it. Yeah. Get it in the system. I don't want...
Cans and octopus.
Cans of sardines and octopus. Make sure.
Yeah. Every restaurant. Thank you.
And you guys are awesome. So The other thing I got was mushrooms, cepas. They were a little too salty. I don't know. I'm not sensitive to salt, so you don't have to put a note in. No notes on that.
Okay.
But it was great. Each dish was about $10. They came around with these. They do have past pinchos. Every once in a while, they bring one by, which is like little bruschettas, I guess you could call them. I passed on them because I felt I had enough food. But I liked the concept. I would definitely recommend it and go back. And their website is huertasnyc.com. So that's that.
Awesome.
Nice. Sounds good.
Yeah, it was good. Good for solo dining. I think good for a date place, too.
Fun.
Now, you guys, can you ask a question? It's time for my final question. So next week, I'm having on Andrew Friedman, who is an amazing writer. His website is Tokeland. And he's written a lot of cookbooks with chefs. Do you know Andrew?
Yeah.
Is he in the system?
I'm sure. I have to look it up.
Well,
I'm sure.
What shall I ask him?
I would want to ask him if he was ever in the midst of doing a cookbook and a chef wanted to put a recipe in the book that he thought was going to be terrible and told them he didn't think it should go in. Yeah. I wonder if you've ever put the kibosh on a recipe or a dish that a chef wanted. He's worked with some pretty well-known chefs, so I'm curious
if he
ever put...
I'm guessing the answer is yes, but we'll see.
Yeah. We'll see.
I'd want to ask his opinion, I guess, on... He's written a book or a couple articles on the Boku Store for America and like what like Thomas and Danielle are trying to do to really push America's involvement in the Boku Store. I'd love to get his opinion on how that's going and where he sees that. Do we really, you know, we've put a lot of effort into it, and are we gaining some ground? And how long till we walk home with a cup or a medal or whatever, the spoon,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, if everybody watched the World Cup yesterday at 4:00, it feels like so. If we can get Americans interested, you know, in that, I think there's hope for us.
Absolutely. Is hope, and that is true. Well, great questions. Thank you. I wish we had more time to dive in more about your whole background and places. I'd love to just hear about what it was like to work at the French Laundry.
Whole other show. And a lot more people could be involved in that show.
Well, cool. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks.
So my guests today have been Grace Ann Jordan of Crafted Hospitality and Peter Esman of Set for Service. CraftRestaurants.com is their website. You're on Twitter at Flynn Jordan. And we said setforservice.com, and you're at Peter Esman and at Set for Service. I'm at All Industry at Sherry Bayer, Bayer PR. And if you ever miss a live broadcast, you can always find us at heritageradionetwork.org. And we're on Stitcher and iTunes. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks to Jack, my engineer. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. I will be back next Wednesday at 4:00. Hope you'll tune in then. Have a great fourth weekend. Bye. Everybody gets
broke down. Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.